Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
And so I invite you to open your Bibles to that passage we made reference to in the ordination. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And the name and theme of the sermon is, I love my church. I love my church. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Listen closely as I read out loud. This is God's word. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our God. Let's pause now for a prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we do ask that the light of your word would shine by your spirit to the glory of Christ. Use humble, very fallible messengers, ministers of the word, to deliver your precious and beautiful glory to your people. We ask in Christ's name, and let us say, amen. A police recruit was taking his entrance exam. His first question was this: you are at the scene of a crime. Two men with knives are circling one another. A crowd is gathering around to watch. Suddenly, a panicked man grabs you by the shoulder and asks you to take his wife to the hospital. Just then, a fire breaks out in a nearby apartment. You hear the scream of a woman on the top floor saying, "Help! What are you going to do?" Without missing a beat, he answered, "Take off my uniform and blend in with the crowd." Oh, leaders are tempted to do that, God's people. But leaders must love their church. I love my church, and I hope you newly ordained and installed brothers love the church too. Because in this passage, the Apostle Peter tells us that it is time for leaders to love the church, because you see, there's a great temptation among those first century leaders to whom Peter wrote in Asia Minor not to love their church. And throughout this entire letter, Peter keeps urging them on, keep your head, don't retreat, don't shut down shop, love the sheep, love the church, be shepherds of God's flock. And so that brings us this morning to our first point. What is the mission of a shepherd? What is the mission of a shepherd? Let's look at verses 1 and 2 again. Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." Now let's stop there. Now, I did not grow up Presbyterian, so the first time I heard, elder was not a word we used in my church when I was growing up. And so I remember the first time I heard the word elder used of Presbyterian leaders, I had this picture of some early American leaders from the 1800s. Strict, rigid-looking men with long beards and a frown on their face. That was my unusual picture of an elder. But in the early church, that's not quite the picture. The word elder is presbyteros. Now, presbyteros does mean old man, older man, elder. But naturally, one is older and hopefully more mature with character and authority. And that is what the word means. An elder is an older man with character and maturity and authority. Elders date all the way back to the Old Testament, to the days of Moses. Moses needed help, and God gave it to him in Numbers 11, verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them, and they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." This practice continued into the New Testament. As Paul and Barnabas planted churches, we see in Acts 14, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And so there is a long history of elders in the church and in the scriptures. And what is the mission of that shepherd, of that elder? Well, the first mission of a church elder is this: get close to the people. That is the first mission of an elder. Stay close to the people. Get close to the people. And we see this in verses 1 and 2 because two times Peter tells the elders to whom he writes that they should be among the people. Be among them, he says in verse 1, to the elders among you. And then again he says it, be shepherds of the flock that is among you. That's the King James translation, but the Greek is exact in both of those phrases. Elders must be among the people. They must be close to God's people. It doesn't matter if there is persecution from Rome. It does not matter whether there is pressure from secular neighbors. It doesn't matter if there is tension inside the flock itself. Elders are to be among the people. Get close to your people, elders, is what Peter says, and never, never walk away. Now, Peter is not speaking as an outsider. Look at verse 1. Did you notice what Peter calls himself? Do you see that? In verse 1, he writes to them and he says, as a fellow elder. Peter is your fellow elder. He is not exempt from these instructions. Now, we know that Peter was more than an elder, right? Yeah, Peter was a special elder. He was an apostle. He was an elder who was an eye and ear witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He was a very high-ranking apostolic elder, but that did not elevate him so high that he would not mingle with the people. And let me tell you why. Peter had an experience that drew him nearer to God's people than any other, and it was a special breakfast, a special seaside breakfast that he had with our Lord Jesus Christ by the sea during the days of his resurrection. And there Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And it broke Peter's heart. It's like when a spouse says to them, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, of course you know I love you." And then the Lord asked him a second time, "Peter, do you love me?" And it choked him up. The one he loved more than anything. "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then he asked him a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, I do." Of course, we all know what's going on there. Peter had denied Jesus three times, and so Jesus was giving Peter three opportunities to affirm his love for Jesus after denying Jesus three times. And at the end of that third time, Jesus gives to Peter the very heart and core of his love for the gospel. And he says, then Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. That made a huge impact on Peter. He realized that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus was for the goal of God's glory and rescuing the sheep of God. And so Jesus said, take care of my sheep, Peter. These are the sheep whom the Father has called. These are the sheep for whom I have died. These are the sheep in whom the Holy Spirit resides. And so Peter loved God's sheep. At that moment on, Peter knew he could not be a board member mentality elder, simply casting votes about the sheep. Peter knew he wouldn't be a committee member elder only, making plans about the flock. Peter was going to be a shepherd, three times over, a shepherd, and be among God's people. That is what we are called to do. I don't know if you've ever gone on an architectural tour before, or have seen old cathedrals or buildings in a downtown urban area. But if you ever get a chance to visit a Greek Orthodox cathedral, you will be amazed to see its architecture. The floor represents the earth. The walls are covered with paintings of holy people in ascending order of holiness. And then near the top, near the roof, you will see the apostles are painted there. And what's so fascinating is that this is the last thought Peter had on his mind when he was talking about elders and apostles. Don't be up there. I don't know, where would we put Mick? I don't know how high we could get Mick up there. Where? Don't be there, be here. And so, he wants us to be among the flock, just as Jesus was among the flock. Officers are not to be distant. Jesus became incarnate and dwelt in our midst. Officers in the church are to be near the people, dwelling with the people, loving them, knowing them, seeking them. And of course, dear church, if I could just say one plea, would you help us out? As we seek to draw near to you, would you make yourself open and available and willing to be drawn near unto? For this is the plan of God. Draw near to one another. Now, not only is the mission of the shepherd to get close to the people, but secondly, we are to shepherd the flock of God. That's what the command says. Shepherds get close and then shepherd them. Now, I want to notice a few things about that phrase. Notice that the flock is called the flock of God. The flock of God, not the flock of the elder or the leader. Leaders are not the leaders of the church. God is the leader of the church. The flock belongs to the Lord. Leaders are not the chief shepherd. We are the under shepherds. And look how this unfolds in the Bible. The Lord is called the shepherd. In the scripture, Psalm 23, we know this so well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is the shepherd of the church. Pastors, elders, deacons cannot solve your problems. The Lord solves your problems. Pastors, elders, deacons cannot meet your deepest need. The Lord meets your deepest need. But then, in the Old Testament, church leaders were called under-shepherds. Listen to these famous but critical words in Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the sheep? What's fascinating in this passage of Peter, the analogy still holds. The Lord is the shepherd. The elders are the under shepherds. And we see that in verse 4, where Jesus is called the chief shepherd who appears. And so, what are shepherds to do? Very simply, they nurture. That's what shepherds do. They nurture the sheep. Listen to this beautiful phrase in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. That's what shepherds do. That's what shepherds do. Shepherds make sure the flock lays down in green pastures. Shepherds make sure the flock are led by still waters. Shepherds make sure the flock has restored souls. Shepherds protect the sheep. We guard the sheep against predators, natural predators on the outside, wolves from the outside, or we protect them from one another, from selfish and naughty sheep on the inside. We rebuke the sheep when they go astray. We will even leave the 99 to go find you, the one, to draw you back and restore you to life if we are able. We nurture the sheep. Another thing shepherds do is we serve as overseers. Now, I like the old language is bishops. You heard me say that in the King James language down here when we installed the elders. The word is actually episkopoi. It's translated bishop. But what's interesting, according to Peter, bishops are a collective group of men who serve as guardians. Nowadays, bishop usually means one guy, a high-ranking presiding church officer in charge of the whole church, but that's not the New Testament meaning. In the New Testament, Peter says all elders are bishops, which means they all collectively together oversee and guard and keep. And to do it well, we've got to do it as a group. No one man's temperament, gifts, or maturity. And we all look at each other because we know. When we make decisions, sometimes we don't know what to do, and there's one gifted man in the room or more who can help contribute to the best decision for good Christ-centered oversight. It takes a group to oversee. And so, dear church, what that means for you today, as I'm addressing the officers, but it means for you today, is that because we are led by a group, you are called to honor every single member of the group. Every single officer is worthy, they're all needed. Whether it's the newest guy, the newest installed guy is Bill, or whether it's the oldest octogenarian among us, I wonder who that could be. Mick, okay? So whether old to young, honor the group, all. Now this brings us now from the mission of our shepherd to what should be the manner of those shepherds. Well, we see that in verses 2 and 3. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, not eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Someone once said this, leadership crises are more often caused by character breakdown than by lack of gifts. I've become a big believer in character is 85% of leadership, having godly character. You can figure out the skills you need. You can figure out how to work with people if you have character. Now, why does Peter talk so much about character here? Well, let's get our first century context. You can see persecution is in the air in the first century. We teach our kids in church history class the first and second century was a tough century for Christians. Discouragement was spreading through the church, persecution was in the air, morale was down, and leaders were starting to crack. Leaders were starting to give in. Some of them were denying Jesus under pressure. When the pressure is on, the worst in us leaders can come out. Or we might get panicky and start domineering people, declaring martial law. You do it my way. We're under pressure. Sometimes leaders will take their frustrations out on the flock. Hey, if I'm getting the boot, you're going to get the boot. When there is pressure, leaders can crack. And Peter knows that. And so in these two verses, Peter identifies three leading sins that crack most leaders under pressure. John Calvin calls these three pleasures sloth, gain, and power. But by common language, we'll call them pleasure, power, and money. Elders, beware. Firstly, Peter says, elders, be free from the love of pleasure. Be free from the love of pleasure. And we see in verse 2, Peter says, serve as an elder, not because you must, but because you are willing. And he says this, dear church, because sometimes it is not pleasant to be the leader. It's not. I enjoy places where I go and I'm not leading and I get to see the leader squirm and have to do all this stuff and I just get to enjoy it a little bit. It is not always pleasant to be a leader. And because it's not pleasant, sometimes leaders serve grudgingly. It's my turn. They always want me to serve. And Peter says, don't do it because you want to, not because you must. Now, why would first century leaders be unwilling to serve? In America today, it's hard to fathom, but many of them were under threat of life, limb, property, family. Perhaps it might be, if you were an elder and an elder's family in Syria, when ISIS moves into your city. I wonder if I still want to do this. It might be if you were in the nation of Iraq. It might be if you are in an underground kind of church in Asia. You see, today around the globe, conversion to Christ, service in his church can be illegal. Baptism can send you to prison. Elders carry tremendous burdens that are made harder under persecution. Today, though, here in North America, in the Western world, elders don't risk life and freedom to serve as shepherds, but we do sacrifice many of the creature comforts that are ubiquitous to our culture. Elders have to say no to so many things they could do to serve. Elders have to say no to activities or hobbies or pleasures, and they need to say yes to session meetings and prayer meetings and visitation and teaching the Bible and serving. Our elders will forfeit some nights at home, some free time and leisure. And so if an elder is to serve and a deacon is to serve, you've got to be free from an inordinate love of that stuff because you can't hold on to it and serve. Our society will say, what's the matter with you? You're getting pretty dull. And that's when elders can become begrudging leaders. And grudging leaders produce grudging followers. So pray for your elders that they're free from the love of pleasure. Secondly, Peter identifies that an elder should be free from the love of money. He says, not greedy for money, but willing to serve. Now, it makes you wonder, in the first century, I mean, we know about that today with the success of so many organizations, and then there's embezzlement, and we read about it. What was going on in the first century that could make an elder do it for the money? I mean, I don't really think, in the first century when Peter wrote, I don't know of many church history stories of huge embezzlements. But we can only imagine that there were churches around Asia Minor that had no minister of the word among them, and there's persecution in the air, and they're trying to attract somebody to stay and not leave. And they say, well, maybe we can make your life a little more pleasant with, a little wartime pay. Last man left in a hurry. We don't want you to leave. Things got rough. Maybe we'll give you some combat pay. Either way, Peter says leaders should never be motivated by money. And I guess I don't need to say that officers can run into problems here. Can church leaders be greedy? Yeah. Church leaders have financial pressures like you do. And there's access to a ledger and a checkbook with the gifts of God's people for service to ministry. And there is a danger for fraud that can occur in church. And wholesome churches will set up many checks and balances and especially keep the minister's name off of everything. But dear church, pray that your leaders will be content with what they have and not be greedy. And then the third sin that we often struggle with in leadership under pressure is be free from the love of power. And there Peter says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. There was a young lieutenant at Fort Bragg. He discovered he had no change for the vending machine, and there he was, the vending machine looking at him. So he looked around, and he saw an enlisted man walking by, a private. And so he said, "Private, do you have change for a dollar?" And the private was very cheerful, and he said, "Well, let me take a look." And he says, "Wait a minute, is that how you address an officer? Let's try this again. Soldier, do you have change for my money?" And he said, "No, sir." You see, a church leader may not threaten, intimidate, flaunt his power over the flock. When there is pressure, that does not give us the excuse to declare martial law. It drives people away. Instead, the most powerful way to lead, officers, are you ready? It's included here in verse 3. He says, be examples to the flock. Be examples. The Christian faith is taught and caught. Elders teach by words and by their lives. So this brings us now to our final point. The mission of the shepherd, the manner of the shepherd, and briefly we'll cover the reward of the shepherd. Listen to it, officers. Listen closely. Let this encourage you. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. At his second coming, our Lord Jesus will reward leaders for faithful duty by a crown of glory. Glory. And it will be just like God the Father gave Jesus great glory at his resurrection and ascension. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, the Father exalted Jesus with great glory, and Jesus will share some of that glory with his leaders. Why? Why was Jesus given glory that he could give it away to you who serve him? Very simple. Jesus was free from the love of pleasure, love of money, and love of power. Jesus was free himself. He was the elder who was free from the love of pleasure. It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was free from the love of pleasure. And Jesus, that chief elder, was free from the love of money. He who was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. And Jesus, the chief elder, was free from the love of power. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so Jesus earned the glory of being the perfect elder, and then he shares that glory with elders and deacons who seek to follow him in similar service. Peter vividly calls this a crown of glory. So Jesus was given all glory, and then Jesus hands to us a crown of glory. And we learn later, elders and deacons, that Jesus gives these crowns of glories away, and then like those 24 elders who appear in the book of Revelation before the throne, they take off their crowns and they cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus and have a wonderful time of worship. Can't imagine doing that, the joy that will bring. And pray for your church, good shepherds, we need them. Please pray for your leaders. Please pray for these newly installed leaders, that they would know their mission, that they would remember their manner, and they would enjoy their reward. And let all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you have blessed your church with servant leaders. Today we lift them up in prayer. We have heard their vows. You have issued your charges and commendations, and now your Spirit must bless this word. For pressures will come and time will pass, our memories will grow short. And unless your Spirit brings to recollection under times of pressure these precious words, we will certainly falter. O Spirit of God, work in our newly installed leaders and in present leaders. We pray, O Lord, that your grace would be strong among us. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.